Morning, brothers and sisters. Excuse the shades. It's been a long 4-day shift at the early starts. And if I slow down or stop, Neo, give me a nudge and wake me up again, please. Okay. The exhortation this morning is just something that's exercised my mind for some time about how do we actually interpret it, how do we approach it. And it's really, really simple subject and based on 1 Corinthians 13:13, which we all know by heart, when God in his mercy takes us to end time, but now abides faith, hope and charity. Charity being an agape-like love. Now we've dealt with faith a number of times. We've heard a number of exhortations based on the faith chapter in Hebrews. And I pray that you all know about love by now, we should. But one that doesn't come up often in our thinking is the subject of hope. And it was hinted at a little bit in our readings in 1 John 5. We won't go to that for the minute, I'll come back to that one. But I'm just going to approach this from my personal reflections, my observations. A little bit selfish, this is about me and my thinking, and I hope I can sort of take you on my journey of thought as well. So my reflections and observations on hope and what it means to me and what it should be. Have I got my hope right, or do I need to work on it? Is there something that we should be looking at in the way we approach it? Now, back in the day when I was at school, which is some moons ago now, I used to have a hope that I'd always done enough to pass school exams. That was a pretty vain hope for the majority of them, though it did succeed in one or two. On a different level, the number of people I see at a supermarket checkout, myself included, who stand there hoping that there's enough in the bank account to cover that credit card transaction. So this is another hope that we have. More seriously, Jill and I have been in a situation where we stood on the side of the road and hoped that our son would live. And it's at the extreme scale, and the difference between the first hoping that I'm done enough for exams and the last is quite considerable, but they still don't meet what scripture defines hope to be for us. So we hope a lot when things go wrong, and the book of Lamentations chapter 3 verse 18 makes a statement, says, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." Now that hope that is spoken about there is a fragile hope. It's perishable. No, it doesn't lead to anything. It's finite. It has an ending. And I've sort of become aware over the last few years that my hope was along those lines. A continuation of my worldly hope for a pass in school exams and that the grocery bill would be paid, etc. So what do I need to do to change it? What does scripture say? Scripture says that the gospel teaches us a hope, that we are to have an absolute conviction that what God has promised will come to fruition. Vastly different from the fragile and perishable hope of the things of the world. We need a hope that becomes imperishable, that fits in that trilogy of faith, hope, and love. So scripture talks a lot about the hope of the kingdom of God, the hope of Israel, lot of things lead us into this thought of hope. So where do we fit into this? So we go to examples in scripture. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob were promised the land. They were given a hope of that land to come. And in a way, that land became a destination. And I introduce that thought here because this is where I want to go with this. So I should be living a hope that leads to a sure and certain destination. We live our faith and we live our love as best we know how in our Christian way, in the love of God. So do we live our hope as surely as our faith and our love? So we have to reflect that hope, not just in the way we look, but we have to be able to verbalise it. We have to be able to talk to other people what our hope actually is. Scripture tells us in the book of Job 14:14, when he's replying to one of his friends in their condemnation of him, Job speaks of a worldly hope perishing. And the end of that verse speaks or suggests that Job was also aware of a future change. So the hope he has, the worldly hope he has, he understands is going to perish. But there's something else that he adds. Doesn't really go into any detail at this stage in Job, but there's something future for him to look forward to. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15 tells us to not live unto ourselves but unto him which died and rose again. Our hope, in this case, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, death and resurrection. Confirmed in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, we are told God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in Revelation 20 verse 5, this is just a continuation of a train of thought. Revelation 20 verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished, and this is the first resurrection. So establishing what our hope should be. It is in a way a destination. There is an end result to be had from it. This end result, we are to expect it to be eternal, imperishable, something that cannot be taken away like worldly hopes can be. It's something that adds to the purpose of life, or purpose of our Christian life. And in the past, I think this is where my understanding of what my hope should be was a little bit askew. It's taken a while to understand that hope is not just this wishful thinking thing that a lot of us go through when we come to worldly affairs. It's a definite train of thought that leads us, in this case of Scripture, to the kingdom of God, for that surely must be the destination of our hope. Now, when it comes to my Christian walk, my thinking was that along the lines of, I hope I've done enough to enter that kingdom of God. This is along the lines of, I hope I've done enough to pass my exams. And it should be treated at that level. And I became aware that I needed to treat my hope at that level, that it wasn't sufficient. So it wasn't good enough to meet that standard of hope in that trilogy of faith, hope, and love. So we go looking for scriptural examples of what the true believer's hope is. Okay, I need my hope to be like Paul's hope when he tells us in Hebrews 6 verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Now we're talking some pretty powerful stuff here. To enter into the veil by a means which God has given us or offered us this wonderful hope. Now this is a verse I've known from pre-exam days, before I ever had to sit school exams. My first verse I learnt when I was in Boys Brigade was, God is love. I thought that was pretty important. But this verse in Hebrews 6 was attached to my Boys Brigade belt as part of the buckle. It had an anchor on it, sure and steadfast. And this was the second verse I came to understand. So I think this maybe is the reason I've found my worldly hope to be somewhat lacking, because it didn't quite meet that standard of sure and steadfast, to be an anchor to my soul, to be an anchor to my life. So without that hope, we don't have an anchor. We don't have that surety of place in our relationship with God without it. So looking to examples in Scripture, where do we go? Martha is a classic one in John 11 verse 24, when she verbalizes her hope on the death of Lazarus and Jesus' arrival. She says, I know, and this is a word with some conviction, that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. That's a definite statement of hope. She knows. Hope is not an airy-fairy thing. He might rise again. She says, I know he shall rise again. How does she know this? Well, if we go to the verse before, it's quite easy, really. Jesus told her. Because Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. And that's the key. That she listened to what Jesus said. She took it into her heart. She believed. It gave her that hope in that instant to know that her brother would rise again in the last day. Jesus said, Martha believed. However, we don't have that privilege of speaking with Christ face to face. John 20 verse 29 says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We can say the same thing about, blessed are they that have not heard and yet believed. So we haven't heard from Jesus personally, but we have his word before us. And that's where we need to go. To reinforce our hope, to make our belief, our hope, certain and sure. 1 Peter 1:3 says, God has begotten us again unto this lively hope, I mentioned it before, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What's a lively hope? So, as we always do, when we're not quite sure of the meaning of a word, we go to Strong's Concordance. And the word is Tzao, D-Z-A-H-O. It's a primary verb, and it means to live, literally, to live in a lifetime, or to live a quickened life. A life out of the ordinary. Both those statements, to live a lifetime implying eternal life and a quickened life, are both quite above the ordinary. So this puts it in the realm of where we need to be with our hope. Now we start to understand what our hope should be like. It's not the debilitating hope, like I hope there's enough in my account for this credit card transaction. That perishes. Sometimes there's not enough in the account and you're told about it rather embarrassingly. But instead, we have an energized hope, a lively hope, a hope that makes us want to be, that fills us rather, to the extent that we actually want to project that hope to other people. It's a way that energizes our life. That's what our hope should be like. And that hope should be like Martha's, knowing with absolute certainty that what God has promised will come to pass. So do we hope that we're going to be in the kingdom? Or do we really hope? Not quite the right way to put it. Or is our hope the destination of the kingdom? Big difference. One is wishful thinking. I hope I'm going to be in the kingdom. The other one is the destination. We will be in that kingdom. God has promised it. That's conditional. Don't jump up and down and say, well, once saved, always saved theology. It's not that at all. But I know now that my hope is based on knowing that God has promised me, and this is a personal promise as it is to each one of you, that we have life eternal. Conditionally, if I choose. We can choose not to, we can turn away, that's our choice. But God has said, life eternal is ours in the kingdom. So in a personal statement, I do choose life eternal. Therefore, my hope needs to reflect that. I need to be like Martha and Paul in the certainty of their conviction that what God has promised will come to pass for me. My hope is henceforth, as Scripture says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul's words. He said that with absolute conviction. That was his hope, the destination of his life. I was very interested in the context, the tense of those words, there is. It's like it's present, it's like it is now. That's how sure our hope needs to be. In fact, it goes further than that. Revelation 1 verse 6 says, God has made, past tense, us kings and priests unto God and his Father. And again in Revelation 5 verse 10, he says, he has made us unto our God kings and priests, God being in this instance Jesus Christ, the Mighty One. And we shall reign on earth. God has dealt with us, past tense. We are living in that changed state. we shall reign on earth. So he has taken us out of death into life. And that surely is a confirmation of our hope. These words are very definite. They're not wishy-washy words. They're not words that say, oh, maybe. They are words that say, these things will happen. So does our hope reflect the surety of those words? Or do we waver when we say, my hope is, when we're trying to explain what that hope is? Just to expand a little bit on this, when Jill and I were standing on the side of the road hoping that our son would live, it came with a lot of prayer, and God answered prayer on that night as we stood there and received the peace of God that comes with knowing that our hope is going to be realised. That's how definite the realisation of that hope was. So, personal experience, I can vouch for that. So, our hope, my hope, should match the conviction of my belief. I believe that Jesus died, he rose again, and that he has gone before to be the firstborn of many from the dead, of which I hope to be one. I will continue to work on manifesting that hope, to be able to let others know about that hope that was in me, that surety that I have in this world of unsure and unstable things. I know I will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, if I continue on this path. Until that day, I will live in faith, hope, and charity, or agape love. I will see my faith and hope realized, because we're told they won't be needed at the appearing of my Saviour, my Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen.